Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God and our Father. Surely he has borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did not esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Welcome to our continued study in the Word of God concerning Jesus' ministry dealing with sicknesses, disease, demons, and evil spirit. We started a while ago looking at this particular part of his life, his calling, and his assignment. And I've been telling you guys that every one of us that is on this planet have an assignment. Most of us are just focusing on our jobs. And I know there are many people that have wonderful jobs, making a lot of money, and yet they're not happy. And I can guarantee you, because they haven't found their assignment yet. When we saw Jesus Christ showed up with the disciples, we know that they were working and they had professions. They were fishermen, and that was their job. And Jesus called them to an assignment. He says, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So it goes for all of us. Every single one of us have an assignment here on earth. Jesus had one, and we're looking at his assignment as he had stated in Isaiah chapter 61, that he was here to deal with sicknesses, disease, deliver us from that, people that are in bondage to everything, sickness, disease, demon, evil spirits, and so forth. So we focus on, I think we started this in somewhere in March. March 3rd was when we had that first teaching unveiling the origin of sickness and disease. And then we focused on the evil spirit parts to kind of show you where, what's their origin, where did they come from. Because again, many in the church teaches that, or taught us that, these demons and evil spirit were fallen angels. And as we saw, that is absolutely erroneous. It has nothing to do with the Bible and what the forefathers in Eastern Christianity, I call it, versus Western Christianity. I believe Western Christianity is a corrupt pagan religion, and it has strayed away from Eastern Christianity, which is basically more of what the forefathers believed in, not this stuff that is propagating Easter and all kinds of stuff. Those are all pagan holidays. Has nothing to do with Jesus Christ and who he is and stuff like that. So we have been focusing, guys, on this topic. And so we want to swing back now, because as I said, we spent a couple of weeks on the origin of evil spirits, demons, and so forth. And we saw according to the book of Enoch, and we saw also the book of Jubilees and so forth, other books, other sources outside of the Bible that goes into detail as to what's their origin and so forth. And so we spend time with that. So we are going back into the other pieces of this ministry or this assignment of Jesus. One of the things I want to tell you about your assignment. Most people believe that your assignment, when it comes, is that it'll be all gravy and all that type of stuff. That it's not the case. God had said, come and do your assignment. And he says, though you go through the fire, I will be with you. Though you go through the flood, it will not overflow and overtake you. All of these things, we know that Jesus Christ's assignment was to die. We know that Peter had his assignment, how he died upside down. We know the disciples, we know Stephen's assignment, and we know how he died. He was stoned, sanctioned by Paul. We know that Paul's assignment was to get to Rome, and all of the trials and tribulations that he went through in order to get there. And if you look at the Book of Martyrs, you know, Fox's Book of Martyrs, you'll see that it chronicles all these men and women that are doing their assignment, but yet they were crucified and killed horribly. We know that Isaiah was sawn in half. So doing your assignment doesn't mean that everything is going to be all gravy and whatever. It means that you are doing your assignment. That's basically all it is. And this notion that you're not going to get any kind of trials and tribulations is absolutely erroneous, because the Bible tells us that all the trials and tribulations come because God is going to use the devil's personality and his tactics to bring out the best of our qualities, long-suffering, and all these other things. And so we see then that the purpose of our trials and tribulation is to make us better men and women and better sons of God, so that we can shine brightly here on this earth. So Matthew 10:8, we see that heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without paying. So this is our assignment. And we talked about it, that Jesus says that he had given us all power. Since when he died, he said, all power has been given unto me. And we know that when all power was given unto him, he distributed to you and I. Even while he was here on the earth, before he died, he distributed to his 12 disciples. And you remember from reading the word that there was someone outside of that 12, because the disciples came to Jesus and said, hey, there's another man across the street that is casting out demons in your name. But Jesus wasn't impressed by that. He just said, hey, if he's with us, that's fine. If who's against us and all that type of stuff, which you talked about. But you remember, Jesus is going to be the gate, right? He says, I am the door. I am everyone. You can't come to the Father except through me. So then Jesus knows exactly who each and every one of us who are born again, who they are personally, because he is the door. So as he is the door, and that's why he stands at the door and he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant, come in. So the faithfulness is done based on your assignment, not because you have this wonderful Christian life and keeping your, doing all that kind of stuff. It's based on the fact that you have kept your assignment and you are going to do it regardless of whatever. So we see, according to Matthew chapter 4, verses 23, Jesus Christ went about all through Galilee, teaching in the synagogue, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom. Very important, guys. The gospel of the kingdom, because if you don't preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, the following stuff is not going to manifest in your teachings, if you will, because the scripture says in Matthew chapter 4, verses 23, and he went throughout all Galilee, teaching there in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom of God and healing all every disease and every affliction among people. So this is what the church assignment is supposed to look like, because remember when Jesus said that go into the world and proclaim the gospel, and these signs shall follow you. You shall lay hands upon the sick and they shall recover. You should cast out demons in my name and all that stuff. That's our assignment. This is the stuff we are supposed to be doing, just like Jesus did, you know. And as Jesus is the beloved of the Father, we are able to walk in his power just as he did here. And the Bible tells us that this God of ours, his intention is to heal all diseases. And we see that in Psalms 103, verses 3, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all of your diseases. And that's why we have people asking, does God really want to heal you? Of course he does. I read those scriptures. Isaiah 53, where it says that we are healed. And then I read Galatians 3, that says that we were healed. So our in God's eyes, when Jesus said it is done, he has done everything. It is through the law of faith how you and I are going to appropriate what is done for us. So we know that according to Psalms 103:3 that God says, I'm the one who forgives you and will heal all your diseases. He wants to do that. So don't have this question that God does not want you to be healed. Exodus chapter 15, 26 says that, for I am the Lord, your healer. So God is the one that heals us and make sure that, you know, like I said, there's two types of healthcare system in the world. You have the world healthcare system, the natural world that we live in, that we are born into. And then you have the spiritual world, the kingdom of God. That kingdom is about healing. It is not about getting you just temporary fix with some drugs. The only thing that they can do is do that. When God heals you, you are healed, period. And so you have to decide how you are going to live. And as I mentioned to you, that the faith is the law that that makes all of the other things happen, because he has done everything. You are healed according to Isaiah 53, and then you were healed. When are you healed and when were you healed? You were healed at, when Jesus Christ was had this the price being paid for you by those lashes on the back. So the disciples were looking backwards, you were, and Isaiah was looking forward, you are. And so he has been pointing these two incidents as directed at the same story, that same particular time frame. And so healing is ours. We appropriate it by the law of faith, if you guys have seen. So we see Jesus Christ as demonstrating, he's out here doing his thing, if you will, when it comes to healing. He's healing all manner of sicknesses and diseases, scripture says. And if you and I follow the word, we are able to do what God says. And one other thing I wanted to mention to you guys, we know that Hollywood has, when it comes to casting out demons and evil spirits and all that stuff, you know, I remember, I didn't see the whole movie, but I've seen parts of it because I just don't want to put that kind of information in my spirit. When we look at the Exorcist and all these other type movies with demons and all that stuff, I don't partake in all these kind of things, because if you look at that type of situation, these religious men are using props to deal with these evil spirits and demons, to cast them out of individual props, meaning the cross, holy water, all kinds of props that Jesus Christ and the disciples never used. And that's why I say, if you don't have the authority to cast out demons, you're going to come up with all kinds of gimmicks to try and do that. You have to have the authority. And it tells us in Matthew 4:26, and he went about all Galilee, teaching and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction amongst the people. You can only do that with authority. And if you have the authority, okay, you will then be able to deal with all of those things. Because this is what Mark chapter 16 says, and these signs will accompany those who believe. Those who believe what? Those who believe in Jesus Christ, in the kingdom, in the gospel of the kingdom, okay? In my name, they will cast out demons. So the name of Jesus have the authority to cast out the demon out of an individual, not the user of the name. The name has the authority. And so that's why it is very important that you understand that some people can do it, but it is the name. Jesus said, remember when they came before him and says, didn't we cast out demons in your name, lay hands on Jesus, looked at him and says, I never knew you. I don't know who you are. But the power is in the name. The name has the capability of casting out demons. And so when you see a Christian, a born-again believer, he will speak to that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Those other guys that are, and we are speaking in the authority that has been given to us through Jesus Christ. And he says, I have given you all power. I've given you all authority. I have given you, I have anointed you to go out and take care of business, if you will. You know, so that's what is the difference between a true born again believer and those that are in the prop business about dealing with demons. And so we know in the name you will cast out demons. They will speak in tongues. That's the new people, the born again people that are as you're going out. They will pick up serpents. This is the believers with their hands. They said they will, not just, you know, the preachers and pastors. And if they drink any deadly poison, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. This is our authority that we have been given. And every believer has that same authority. Every little child that has been born again has the same authority as any other pastor, any other thing, because that's those who proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ of the kingdom. And so when you are walking in that power, you will deal with it. It tells us in the scriptures that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, and he went about doing good. What does doing good look like? It says that he healed all manner of the oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So every demon and every oppressed individual, Jesus Christ was healing them and casting out evil spirits, and that's our authority. And again, we don't need props. I don't need holy water. I don't need nothing like that. Once I understand who I am in Christ Jesus, I speak to that demon. It has to obey me. It has to follow my direction, and it can communicate with me because we saw it communicate with Jesus, and Jesus gave it permission to go into the pig. We know that other things, other incidents when they communicate, and Jesus said to them, shut up, don't talk, be quiet, and so forth. Matthew 10:1 says, and he called him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every manner of disease and every affliction. That is the assignment. It has not changed, and that's what we ought to be seeing within the church. But as I stated before, those people are not of the church today. They use the name and they can do things, but it has nothing to do with who they are. You see that Jesus Christ, as I mentioned, he went around healing of the nobleman's son, which was close to, he was close to that in John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54. He delivered the man in the synagogue with impure spirits, Mark 1:23. When he went to Peter's mother-in-law, he healed her of fever, and the Bible tells us that he also healed a lot of people at that particular time, which is Matthew 8:14-16 says, Jesus, and when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law laying sick with a fever. He touched her hands, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. He cast out the spirits with a word, his spoken word, not with props, not with a cross, not with holy water, not with rosary, not with nothing but the word of God. Anything outside is props, and that's not from the word of God. Mark 1:29 looks at it this way. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law laying ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick of or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And so as I mentioned to you, I'm reading this same story so that I want you to see, here are these different writers looking at the same story. That's why people always say to me, there's conflicts within the Bible because one says this and one doesn't say that and all this kind of nonsense. And we are looking at three different writers. We are looking at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and we're seeing the same story, but you have three different writers looking at three different perspectives based on how they see into that story. But the data is basically the same, but each one points out another piece other than the others. Let's take a look at Luke chapter 4, 38 through 41 and see what that says. And he rose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was still ill. Mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever. So additional information. And it left her, and immediately she rose and began to serve them. Rebuked the fever. And that terminology, it means that he spoke to it with a strong command, leave. And the fever left her. Immediately she arose and served him. Verse 40, now when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. So everybody was bringing their family member, friends, who cares. They're just bringing everybody. And he laid hand on every one of them and healed them. He laid hands, and demons also came out of many, crying. This is what they were crying. You are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. Christ means the Messiah. It's not his last name, guys. Christ. So the correct way to say Jesus Christ is Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. And so we see then that they recognize this is the Messiah. And as the Messiah, they knew that their days were numbered. And we know that he went around in Mark chapter 1, 40. He healed a man with leprosy, the centurion, the soldier. We know that he healed, which was paralyzed in pain. We know that those men, that the paraplegic, that they ripped the house, the roof of the house, lower him. We know that Jesus healed that. But he kept pointing back, to their faith. He kept going back to that one thing about the people's faith. They believed him and so forth. And we know that Jesus Christ recognized, and he made mention of the woman with the issue of blood, the chronic blood disease. He mentioned her faith. We know that Jesus with Jairus' daughter, when Jairus' people came after Jairus said, come and touch my daughter and she shall be made whole. Jairus' peeps came and says, she's dead, don't bother Jesus, don't bother the master. And Jesus says, don't listen to them, Jairus. Stay focused, keep your faith with what you express, and we're going to get it done. And so they went and they got it done. So he delivered them with a spoken word. And that word is based on his authority, come out. And we saw that he did that. And you and I, as I mentioned, we have that same authority. And why? Because we're basing it on what Jesus has done on our behalf. We know that God, as I said, he's a healer. Psalms 147, 3 talks about he heals the brokenhearted. And many of you guys who are brokenhearted, I remember being crushed from a relationship and God was able to heal me. But I will restore your health and heal your wounds, declare the Lord, because you are called out of an outcast, Zion, from whom no one cares. This is in Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 17. I think there's Jeremiah 30:17 in another translation, but I will restore to you your health. So God wants to heal you. Remember Jesus stated, he says, I only do and say what the Father has, you know, has said. And so then, if Jesus is doing all this healing and casting out demons, that means that's what the Father wants. Ephesians 1:7 says that we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace. So because we have been forgiven and we have been granted this authority, because we were told that if we wait on the Holy Spirit, we will be endowed with power, because the scripture says that God empowered Jesus Christ to go ahead and do what his assignment was. And so that's our same thing as well. And we are empowered to do our assignment. We are not called to be messing around with props in any way, shape, or form. And as I said, I've been around, and I have seen some crazy things when it comes to evil spirits and things people do strength-wise, or even all kinds of different things there. So it is our responsibility and our assignment that when we go in, we ought to be coming in as it tells us Jesus did. Whenever he entered villages or cities or countryside, they were laying the sick in the marketplaces and imploring him that he might touch the fringe of his cloak, and as many as touched it were being cured. That word cured is what Jesus does and what the kingdom of God is all about. And so I want to encourage you guys, as we see that it is God's will, we know that Jesus dealt with it, we know that the price was paid for it, so that we have been redeemed from the curse of the law. And one of the curses was sickness and diseases. If you read Exodus, you'll see that if you follow me, this will happen. If you don't, this will happen. And he tells his people, choose life. So we know then that because of our disobedience, sickness and diseases come, but also the body has been corrupted due to the fall. And so many of us are going to die anyway. But if you're going to die, die doing your assignment and not, you know, versus not partaking in it at all. So one of the things I wanted to bring back to you guys is that when you look at the scripture and you're dealing with healing, you'll see that faith is crucial part of it. Many of it, Jesus healed people with his faith. He healed them because of his faith. There are many that were coming that didn't have the faith for it, and he healed them because of his faith. And then there are those people that brought their family members. That is faith. You wouldn't bring your family member unless you believe that he would heal them. So those people demonstrated faith. The friends demonstrated faith. The woman with the issue of blood demonstrated faith. The blind men, when we're crying, Son of David, come, they were demonstrating faith. Every time we see these people, Jairus demonstrated faith. We know that centurion soldier demonstrated his faith. We know that woman that came and talking to Jesus about her daughter being sick, and Jesus said to her, I didn't come for the dogs, I came for, you know, and she said to him, yeah, but even the dogs eat from the master's table. I mean, all those people that we talked about demonstrated the law of faith. And because they did, they got the results. And the Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That is Romans chapter 10:17. And so 10:17. I tell you guys all the time that the soul of the man is the person that hears. The your body is the one that listens. You know, you just listen, but it's listening is the entrance to the data going into your soul. And the soul, as you meditate on the data that you're listening to, it can penetrate and lodge into the soul. And he hears it. And a woman said within herself, if I would touch his garment, I'm going to get my healing. So your purpose is to put that word of God in your soul so that you can activate your faith, so that you can then move to obtain what you are believing for. Mark 9:23, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So it is on your responsibility to make sure that you are capable of believing. And how is one capable of believing? So faith comes by hearing. So faith then is in the word that you're listening to. It just needs a place to reside, to sit, and for that individual to believe it. And when that individual believes it, that faith is present to cause that individual to make the confession as to what they want and how they want it. She said, I just need to touch the hem of his garment. And she declared and decreed how she wanted, and she got exactly how she wanted it. Jairus did the same thing. He decreed how he wanted it. He wanted Jesus to come to lay hands on his daughter. The centurion soldier, he declared how he wanted it, and he got it. Jesus said to him, do you want me to come to the house? And he says, no, I don't need you to come to the house. I just need you to speak the word, a word, because I understand authority. I understand what you walk in, the substance that you walk with. Because why? I'm a centurion. I understand authority as well. And so he began to explain to them what authority looks like. He said, if I say to my, people who are under me, do this and do that, they do it because I understand authority. And so I understand you, Jesus Christ, have authority, and all I need you to do is speak the word. And Jesus spoke the word, and he turned to the man and said, your faith is great. So your faith, okay, the ingredient, that law, is give you the capability to dictate how you want your manifestation to come alive. It is up to you. If you want to touch the hem, you touch the hem. If you want it, however you want it, is how you are going to get it. Matthew 9, 2 talks about the paralytic man lying in the bed, and Jesus saw their faith, the faith of his friends, and he says, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. John 4:50, Jesus said to him, go your way, your son lives. So the man believed the word of Jesus that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. See, he believed that what Jesus said, go your way, your son lives. He said, okay. And he just went away and did that. And the man's son. So you see the son, the faith of that man. And that's why I keep telling you, faith is that ingredient that is necessary to even activate your authority. Now, if I stand before a demon and I don't believe, that I have the authority over him to speak to him and cast him out, that's going to be a fun thing to see. And I've seen that before, because you don't have the faith. You don't believe, and he's going to look at you and say, what are you talking about? Because he recognized that you don't believe what you're talking about. So Bible tells us the devil and all the demons believe, and they tremble. So you have to come and believe just like these guys, because they believe. They believe, and they know that he was the Son of God. And even though they can't get redemption, but they know who he was. They knew who he was. But you and I, we can obtain redemption because of what he has done on our behalf as a part of the human race. So you know then that your faith is crucial in obtaining your desired outcome when it comes to your healing, even raising people from the dead. Mark 5:36, while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble? This is the one with Jairus. He says, why trouble the master? And he said to the ruler of the synagogue, which we talk about, he said, do not be afraid of that new data that they brought you, that new information, the new news. He says, don't be afraid of that. Don't allow the spirit of fear to come in to dislodge you from your confession. Your confession was, if I come to your house and lay hands on your daughter, she's going to be healed. Regardless of what happens to her, doesn't matter. You said, if I come to the house, she will be healed. So don't listen to these guys. Just, he says to Jairus, don't be afraid. Don't disconnect. And I still need that ingredients from you in order to do what, for you to get what you need. And it is important. We recognize that God is our healer. He wants to heal. And so then it's up to you and I. The Bible tells us that if there's any sick amongst you in James, it says, go and call the elders of the church. And what did it say in verses 15? James 5:15, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he commits sin, he will be forgiven. That prayer of faith, if there's any sick amongst you, go and get the elders of the church. Because why? The elders of the church, they believe in faith. You know, and so get your stuff. James 5:1-14, it says, if any man wrong you sick, let him call for the elders of the church and let him pray over them, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And prayer of faith will save the sick, the one who is sick. So we see, and I want to talk to you guys about this oil. The anointing of oil is a sign of the anointing, okay? We're not talking about casting out demons. We're just talking about sickness on the body. You anoint the body with sickness. You don't anoint the oil with sickness. Demons. You cast those things out. You just cast them out. If you stay with the model that the Bible gives you, you'll be fine. And so I always try to tell people to model yourself after Jesus and what they did in the Word, and you'll be okay. And so it tells us that if anyone among you is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Those are the ones that are supposed to have good sense, you know what I mean? And they understand the Word of God, and these are men and women that are walking by faith. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of our Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he committed any sin, he will be forgiven. So I want to encourage you guys, man. Demons and those type entities, you have authority over them. For the Bible says, it says, I've given to you authority, tread over serpents, to take authority, you know, go ye into the world, all power. It's up to you and I. We don't need any props for that. But when it comes to healing and stuff like that, the only prop that the Bible talks about is the oil. And that oil is that for anointing the head. And they did that, the prophets did that in the Old Testament and so forth. And that is a representation of the anointing of God in their life. But I want to encourage all of you guys, man, to get to know Jesus Christ. We are here for a moment. I've talked to you guys about next year being the last Jubilee, which is the last 50 years. We have a grouping of 50 years that, in, according to the book of Jubilees, a Jubilee is 50 year. And so 2025 begins the last Jubilee before the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, before the coming of the Antichrist. And that puts us into 2075, subtract seven from that, you're at 68. And so we know that Jesus Christ is supposed to be coming around that time, according to the calendar. But we all, the Bible tells us that we ought to be living every day as if it's our last day. But again, I want to tell you guys, so watch 2025. Some stuff is going to happen in 2025, and we are almost halfway out of 24 anyway. But keep believing, trusting the Word of God, staying faithful, and God will do everything that you need. You need that ingredients, which is called faith. And once you have faith, the Bible says we are called to live from faith to faith. The just shall live by faith to faith. And the Bible says that we walk by faith and not by sight.